Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Well, why don't you turn over to Ephesians 3 with me? Ephesians 3, or it's on your sheet there. We've been talking about for several weeks, I believe this is the ninth week, we've been talking about love. Our series, we called it Rooted and Grounded in Love. Rooted and grounded in love. You know, established in love. And we've talked about many aspects of that, and these build on each other. So we can't recap everything. If you haven't been with us, go ahead. That's what the website archive is for. Go back and listen to them. Listen to them in your car. Listen to them when you're exercising. Listen to them more than once if you need to. I don't say that because I preached them. I say that because those are words for us. They're from the Word of God. They're inspired by the Holy Spirit. And God will speak to you through that, and they will be an encouragement and a blessing to you. And so I encourage you to take advantage of that. Ephesians 3:14. This has been our text. Ephesians 3:14. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." We've used this as our text. Notice it talks about being rooted and grounded in love. Love is a central, I mean, you can't even say it's a central theme or a central idea. The Bible says God is love. So this is not just like, well, that's the main point. God is love. So this, is this important to God? Absolutely. Is this important to us as Christians then? Yes, it is. Is it important to know and be able to flow in this and be able to and to be rooted and grounded in it? This should be our foundation, in other words. Jesus died for us because He loved us. It's not that we earned some place with Him. He loved us, and so He gave His life for us, and He did that by love. He did that for us when we could do nothing for Him. And He is the example of love. He shows us what love is. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I want to show you something. Let's go. Let's do it this way. Let's skip down on your sheet. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. It's going to go over there now. We'll do it this way. 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13. We'll read through this. Don't let this be too familiar for you this morning. I know some of you have heard this. Read this scripture. This is a familiar passage of scripture. Read it with fresh eyes, like you've never seen it before. Let it be new to you this morning. Don't ever go to the scripture. How many of you know we cannot exhaust scripture? A million years from now, when we're in heaven, we're still going to be getting things that out of scripture and out of the Word of God, in other words, that we didn't know. You're not going to say, "Well, God, hey, how you doing? I know everything about you. See Him on, you know, streets of gold." Not going to happen. Jesus, I know all about you. I mean, how many of you have been married, you know, for any length of time? I know we got a few of you that, you know, married decades, 50 years, you know, 40 years, 30 years. How many of you would say, men, you'd say, "I know everything about that woman. There's just no mystery whatsoever. It's done. I mean, I knew that years ago." How many? Yeah, you better not raise your hand. Or women. Now, it might be, you, women might be quicker to raise their hand. I got that guy figured out like 2 years. But no, we don't, even if we think we know some things, has your spouse ever surprised you? You thought you knew some things and you said, well, I never heard that story. What? I thought I knew all the stories, you know, and then you find something out. Well, how much more do you think God? You think you're going to get to the point, you a human, you know, human spirit, I mean, you're a spirit, you're walking around in a body, but you're going to get to the point where you know the Almighty, the one who has always been, you know him backwards, forwards, sideways, like I know you. How could that even be possible? Because us, with our limited capacity, our little brain, know the one that created the universe. And we just, you know, there's a whole lot of things we don't know with our collective intelligence cannot figure out about this creation that God has made. Any one of us think we're just going to figure, we all know everything, right? Not going to happen. So when we come to the Word, we ought to know that there's probably at least two or three things I don't know about what I'm about to look at, right? So whenever, I encourage you, whenever you look at it, the Bible, when you're reading at home, your devotions, look at it fresh. Don't go, oh yeah, I'm read it. Is it only me, you've got, you know, you're reading your devotions and you get through a whole chapter, you have no clue what you just read. You get done with it and it's like, I don't know what I just read. Why? Because you checked out. Nope, if we'll go to the Word, and let me tell you this, I encourage you to do exactly what we pray, when we pray before we start ministering. Ask God, when you're going to read the Bible, ask Him. Say, God, I'm coming to your holy written Word right now. Illuminate my mind right now. Show me what I need to know right now. May it just pop out at me. Give understanding to my heart. And you watch how when you read that Word, God quickens it to you. Now, His Word is always alive, but when you come before the Word like that, you watch how it'll be different. Praise God. But 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And I want to read that. Let's look at your sheet. On 1 Corinthians, the same passage in the Amplified, it says, so we're talking about what love is, and we've been talking about being rooted and grounded in love, God is love, and we've been talking about how the Spirit of God has been given to us, that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit helps us to walk in love, helps us to do what would be in line with love. And this right here, well, he specifically said some of those things and not just started off with this. This is what it looks like. This is love. Well, God is love. This is a description of the way God acts and the way we ought to act as Christians, yielding to His Spirit. So in the Amplified, it says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride, is not rude or unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. This is a description of what love is and what it does. Now let's read it again in the Living Bible. Verse 4 says, love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Now, when you're reading this, this is how God is to us. This is how we, as Christians, ought to behave and act. And as we said, this comes from the inside. This isn't an external framework. This is what is coming from the inside, because the Spirit of God is in us to help us do this. Look at this. It is not irritable or touchy. Now, I'm not going to go into these things in detail. I don't believe. If we need to go that way, we will. But we're just kind of reading over, and we're going to get into some other things today. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do wrong. I like that. It won't hardly even notice when somebody else is doing wrong. Some people think they're walking in love and they're nitpicking all the time. That's not love. Sometimes you think, well, I'm just walking in love with you. I'm trying to straighten you out. Well, you got to know, what are you yielding to at that point? Because right here it says love will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. Amen? It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. I like that. You think God is loyal to us no matter what the cost? What you will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. All the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. So that's what love is. You look at that and go, wow, I mean, there's a lot of facets to that. There's a lot of different angles that we could go there that apply to our lives. But I just wanted to read that at this point, this is the context of what it looks like to walk in love. And we may get into that and go in to break some of these down a little bit more at another time. But I want us to go back on your sheet. I wanted to give us some context as we go forward here. But Ezekiel 36:25, we read this before. And I want to just go into this, or read this before we go to the next verse. Ezekiel 36:25 on your sheet there, it says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Are you saying, I'm going to put a new heart in? We talked about this some. He's going to put a new spirit in us. And one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to help us walk in love. When we say walk in love, what are we talking about? Behaving like what we just read in 1 Corinthians. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit to help us do that, because that's quite a list. That's quite a description, because you're talking about the way God is. It's godly. It's the way God behaves. It's the way God treats somebody. And you can recognize this in people. You know it. This time of the year, it's all over. People talk about, you know, just being loving your fellow mankind and giving and whatever. Well, not all of that is God. People have put some different ideas on it. But you can recognize the essence, and the essence of it is godly. When you see somebody treating somebody kindly and gently and specifically with their best interest, and people, you know, there's movies or books about it, and you see how people, and you know, these heartwarming stories. Why is it heartwarming? Because it bears witness with something that is how it ought to be in us. Even non-Christians say, I know that's the way it ought to look. Now, I don't know how to do it, but that's the way it ought to be. But we can only do it and have it and have the reality. I'm talking about true God love, which isn't just what the world says it is. It's what it says there, what we read in 1 Corinthians. You need the Spirit of God to help you do that. And the good news is he said he would help us do it. And so we've talked about that. But he says here, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Now go ahead and turn over to Romans, and we'll get into the heart of what I want to go over today. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Glory to God. You guys, you're believing with me, right? We're going to get what we need this morning. There's a lot in here. We're just going to believe God that what needs to come out today will come out. If we need to do some things next service, we will. But there's a lot here, so just be believing. Romans 13, verse 8, says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, if there is any other commandment, are all summed, and if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Now hold your finger there and turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 13. Galatians 5, verse 13. It says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now turn over to James 2:8. Just hold your place in Romans. You can let the Galatians go, but go to James 2:8. James 2:8. It says there, if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. If you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Now turn back over to Romans, where you got your finger. Romans 13:8. So it says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Let's read verse 9 again. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. So you see, he read all the, you know, you shall not kill. He said it there, you shall not steal, you shall not murder, commit adultery. So all these are summed up in this one commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. For New Testament Christians, in the New Covenant, you saw over in James, it's called the royal law. It's the law of love. This, if you walk in love, you have fulfilled the law. That is what a New Testament Christian is commanded to do. And like we just read in Romans, if you walk in love, you are not going to break any of those commands. In other words, if you walk in love, what's love? We read it in 1 Corinthians. And we may go into it more later. But if you do those things, let's just look at it on your sheet there. Let's look at it in the Living Bible. Look at this. And then compare that to what is the laws of the land even, or the laws in the Old Testament. And think, if you're acting like this, what is described here in 1 Corinthians, just ask yourself, we know the answer, but be reading it and saying, could you possibly be breaking any law and be following this at the same time? The answer is no, but read it. And it just comes home. Love is very patient and kind. Never jealous or envious. We're reading this in the Living Bible. You guys have that on your sheet, right? Okay. Never boastful or proud. Never haughty or selfish. Look at that. It's not selfish. How many things are done purely because of selfishness? Right? How many things, if you're just not selfish, that's going to eliminate so many lawbreakers right there. Right? If you're patient and kind, how many people is that going to... You're not going to break so many laws if you're patient. You're going to murder somebody if you're patient and kind? You know, I'm just about to kill you. You know, but I'm patient about it. No, if you're patient and kind, people are not going to boil over to the place where they would do something as drastic as that. Are you going to steal from somebody? Look at these things. Never jealous or envious. Never boastful or proud. Never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. You going to steal from somebody? You're not demanding your own way? No, you're not. It's not irritable or touchy. Does not hold grudges. Will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. How many things that just eliminates revenge right there? Reaction, somebody does something and, what? They did what to me? I didn't really notice. It is never glad about injustice. It rejoices when the truth wins out. If you love someone, you'll be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You always believe in him. I mean, people are walking in love. You're always believing in everybody. You're believing the best of everybody. Not a lot of law breaking going on. Right? You always believe in him, always expect the best of him, always stand your ground in defending him. And it goes on to say, love goes on forever. So if you look at this, and you see in Romans, it says that he who loves another has fulfilled the law. That's because if you love, you're going to cover everything, any law. I mean, why do we have to keep passing more and more laws in this country? It's because people find a way around the laws that are there, or we're not enforcing them. That's another thing. But they're finding a way around the laws that are there. So what? You know, you pass a law that is clearly the intent or the spirit. When I was playing soccer, we had this kid on our team. He was the goalie. I was on this, you know, team, and he was the goalie. And so, you know, in soccer, you guys that play soccer, you got to line up before the game, before the ref, and you got to show them their, you know, your cleats that go down and make sure you don't have, like, you know, metal studs in there that are going to kill somebody or anything. And you got to show them that, and he comes and looks at your shin guards, make sure you have shin guards and stuff. And so then we talk to the ref, and so this kid would say, sir, are you going to be enforced the rule by the letter of the law or the spirit of the law? You know, just, are we going to go by the letter? Are we going to go by the spirit? And, you know, he would do that over and over with the ref. But, you know, there is what is the letter of the law, and then there is the spirit of the law. You know darn well what the law is saying. But it doesn't really say this, so some people say, well, I can get around here, and I can do this. That is clearly in violation with the spirit of the law, against the spirit of the law, but it's not against the letter, right? You got the flip side, where somebody is clearly trying to do what's in the spirit of the law, and somebody gets them on technicality and said, yeah, you're doing it, but you're not doing it this way, right? So you're in violation of the letter, but you're not in violation of the spirit. You're trying to do what's right, right? Well, if the spirit of the living God is in you, you will not, and you're walking by that, you're not going to violate the spirit of the law, you know, or the letter. You're going to do what you need to do. But that's why we have to pass all these laws in the country, because people look and they say, oh, it says this, but it doesn't tell me that I can't do all these other things, so I'm going to do that. And then somebody says, oh, they're doing that, so we got to pass another law. The fact is, you can never pass enough laws to regulate every little thing about human behavior. Right? Well, look at your sheet back in Ezekiel. It says in Ezekiel 36:25, it says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. See, in the old covenant, God had to give the law. Now, don't make a mistake. The law is good. People have made it to where, you know, throw out the old covenant. Don't do that. Don't throw out the old covenant. God had to give the old covenant to people because they were not born again. They couldn't. So all the things we've been talking about, that the love of God is poured out in our heart, that the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us to walk in love. Now we're putting a lot of these things together today. We just read what love looks like. And we also read that love fulfills the law. And we're just looking at this scripture saying that I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes. An unregenerate person that's not been born again cannot look to their heart to lead them. In other words, the people in the Old Testament did not have the Holy Spirit in you, in them, as you and I do, and they did not have a born-again spirit as you and I do. The Holy Spirit would come upon people, but He did not live in them. So they had to have a written code to tell them, you do this here, and you do this here, and this is the way you have to do it, and if you do that, you're doing it right. In the New Covenant, we've been given the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us, and the love of God has been poured out in our heart, and the Holy Spirit is there to help us to walk in love. Like we've talked about it. Now, if you haven't been here with us, I encourage you, go back and listen to these messages, because we've built on a whole lot here and we're putting some things together. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us to walk in love. What did we read about love just now in Romans? Love is the fulfillment of the law. So if you're walking in love, you have fulfilled any commandment that you have ever been given. Love is the royal law. Love is the New Testament commandment. In other words, Jesus came so that we could be born again, and so our sins could be remitted. And you walk through this world. Now, we know that reality, and then you come and you walk with human beings. And you listen to the Bible, and you listen to a sermon, and you feel like, I see it, it's so simple. And then you go home, and on the way home, you get an argument with your spouse, and you're like, ah, but I gotta live with you now, and you're talking, I was in such a good place, and the Spirit of God was, now we're in an argument. And now it's all fuzzy, and now I feel like I messed up, and I feel, if you let it, I feel like, blew it. Right? You know how many times, and this is not uncommon, the devil works the same everywhere. You hear something, and it is so clear to you, like right now. The anointing is here. The Holy Spirit is prompting things on the inside of you. He's opening the Word to you. You see it. And wouldn't it be nice if you could just live there? Just in that, right there. Just never right there. You're just like, it's all so clear. I'm just going to live here. And I don't have to deal with anybody at work and nobody on the highway and don't have to deal with my children. And, you know, I love my spouse, but sometimes just push the button and, you know, and my boss and, if I could just live here. But it's not that way, is it? So what are you going to do to actually be a Christian in real life? You know, like, I'm really holy when I'm by myself. It's just people that I have a problem with. That's a problem. Because we live with people. And then it's like, if you have that attitude, it's like everybody else is the problem because I'm great when I'm alone. You should see me. It's everything is just at peace. Just me and Jesus. It's great. It's just when I go and somebody else opens their mouth and it just all goes out the window right there. Do you think Jesus was like that? No, Jesus could go with anybody, right? He could rub shoulders with anybody, rich, poor, whatever. They're trying to kill him. I mean, anybody that ever, if you're training for ministry, if you've ever preached, think about this. If you ever think you have a tough crowd, Jesus was preaching and there are people in the crowd right there just looking for something to go wrong and looking, they wanted to kill him. Yeah. You're talking about, everybody said, well, I can't preach with people, you know, that just aren't with me. How did Jesus do it? If he can do it, right? then it doesn't mean even if you have somebody right there that's like, doesn't like you at all, the anointing of God can still come over that. Was Jesus touchy? Was he just like, oh, you hurt my feelings, now I can't do anything, the Holy Spirit flew away, I'm sorry, I can't minister now? No. He just plowed right through everything, right? They're trying to kill him, push him off the cliff, and he just walks right back through them. He was the epitome of love. Everything he did was love, right? He could deal with people and then preach to 5,000, and they just come right on. He could deal with all of it. And he was still spiritual. Well, he was walking in love. This is supernatural. We need the Spirit of God to help us to do this. We need him to help us to walk in love. Walking in love is what we're commanded to do in the new covenant. So like we were going back to, you get out of a service and you feel great and you feel like, I see it all and I know how to do it now. And now somebody says something and it gets under your skin and you say something back and now you're in an argument. What do you do? See, if you can handle that, if you know what to do, now you can go forward and you can walk through life and actually enjoy it the way God told us and not feel like you have to do it perfect. See, if you feel like I have to follow everything perfect for it to go right, then what you'll do, see, that's a mentality that's really, it's a law-abiding mentality, as if it's from the side that I can't do it, so I have to look real hard and try to this, but I'll never really do it. That's coming at it from the opposite side, as if you don't have the Spirit of God inside of you. Rather than that God himself is in you, his Spirit, to help you to do this. And then if you did slip, if you know that I can get right back out of that, get right back into love, and I'm fine. You don't start just keeping score with all these little things that, oh, you broke this, oh, you should have done this. See, when you constantly hear that voice of condemnation telling you did this, you should have done this, why didn't you do this better, you said the wrong thing there, it's because you're thinking like an Old Testament person. You're thinking as if you don't have the Spirit of God living inside of you, and you have 100 rules that you need to follow, instead of what we need to do as New Covenant Christians is follow the love of God that has been poured out in our heart, and the Holy Spirit is there to help us to do what he's told us to do. And so if you'll just follow that, you will walk in love all the time. And there is nothing that the enemy can get on you because you're walking in love. And we just read scripture in the New Testament that said, if you walk in love, you have fulfilled the law. And there is nothing that he can get on you. You don't have to worry about all these little jot and tittles. You have to say, see, this is what fills in the blanks. This is what fills in between the lines, the spirit of the law versus the letter. You could technically say something to your spouse that was, you know, if somebody heard you say it was like, you know, you were in the letter of the law, but you know darn well what you said was tweaking them, and so you violated the spirit of the law. You might not have done the letter, but something on the inside says, you shouldn't have done that, and you know it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The Spirit of the living God won't let you do that stuff. He'll say, you know what? I really feel like I can't say that to that person. Yeah, you can say that, but you know what? I'd be violating my conscience. I know that that would hurt that person. And we have another scripture that says if you do that, you're not walking in love anymore. Now, don't flip this over and make this a big thing to condemn you. This is supposed to be liberating and freeing. If we see it, the Spirit of the living God has been poured out in our heart to help us do this. And if we'll just do it and monitor ourselves, we can walk in freedom all the time. And then the enemy tries to put something on you and said, well, why aren't you doing this? You can say, I don't have that in my heart to do, and it doesn't violate anything in Scripture. What are you talking about? If you're law-minded all the time, he can put any number of things on you, because anytime somebody preaches something or says something that they're doing, you can take it as a law and say, well, I ought to be doing that too. I ought to be doing that too. Somebody says something out, oh, will you do that in your schedule? Well, I think I should do that. And it's like rules, rules, rules. Instead, if you're following the Holy Spirit, walking, we said this too, walking in the Spirit is walking in love. If you follow the Spirit of God for your life, you will walk in love, period. You do what he's telling you to do and interact with other people the way he's telling you to interact. It all goes together. The Spirit of God's never going to lead you out of love. Hallelujah. We have been given his Spirit to help us do what he told us to do. And the new covenant, in the new covenant, we are born again children of God, enabled, empowered by the Spirit of the living God himself to live this Christian life. So you don't have to go around keeping a checklist of things you ought not to do. What you have to do is as you're walking through the day, you're checking on the inside. And the moment you say something to your spouse or to your siblings and you know you shouldn't, you know what you do? You just say, oh, you know what, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me for that? Boom. You cut off any type of results from that. So we just look on the inside. We're led by the Spirit of God on what you should say, what you shouldn't say, how you should behave. You look to the Spirit. Say, I live by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's going to lead you in love. And love is going to follow what we talked about in 1 Corinthians. It's going to always lead you in line with that. And if we're being led in line with that, we are fulfilling all his statutes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. This is good news. This is good news. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus.